The reading today is Ruth 1, verse 1 to 18 in the NIV Bibles. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth, after they had lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? I am going to have no more sons. Who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're going to be talking about the ladies we just read about a few minutes ago, called Ruth and Naomi. And those sheets over there will tell you something about Ruth and Naomi. So if you'd like to go and do some of them, they're on the tables and there's pens on the tables over that side. Don't feel shy, just feel free to go. So we're carrying on with our Old Testament theme of women in the Old Testament and women of faith in the Old Testament. I was trying to find a joke that I read a lot of years ago, and you probably know, and can I find it? So I'm going to try and remember it, so please laugh at the end, even if you don't think it's funny. But it was a story of some nuns who were driving in a car, and they ran out of petrol. Does this ring a bell to anybody? Yes. They ran out of petrol, and they knew they had to go somewhere and find some petrol. They looked in their car to find a can to put the petrol in, but all they found was a potty. So they went to the petrol station with their potty and got some petrol and came back to the car, and they was trying to pour it in. And just as they were trying to pour it in, a great big limousine drew up and two men got out, businessmen who were looking very important, and said, "Are you all right?" And they said, "Oh, so we just ran out of petrol." And they looked at them pouring and they said, "Well, we haven't actually got your beliefs, but we do admire your faith." It pretty well, didn't I? Women of faith. A little while ago, I read this in a book. I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. See what you think. Depending on your point of view, you may be thrilled, irritated, intrigued, or just surprised to see a book of the Bible, even two, named for a woman. The Bible is admittedly a male-dominated book, but as the books of Ruth and Esther point out, women are very important in the story of God's redemption of humanity. Well, I'm very glad we've got that sorted out. Because, you know, if women ruled the world, I won't go any further. This isn't a sermon about gender, but it's actually about looking at two women mentioned in the Bible who had a great role to play in God's story. And sometimes we don't realise how much these people in the Old Testament were part of the continuing story. And I think they're women who can teach and encourage and inspire each one of us, male or female, in our walk with God. So we're looking at Ruth and Naomi. We read the beginning of their story today on those first verses. It's a wonderful story, is the book of Ruth. We've just been studying it as well in our house group before I knew I had to preach on this. And I love that book. I've read it over and over again. And it doesn't take long to read it. Can I recommend it if you've not read right through it? Read it all together. It's quite a story. But the story begins with this couple, Elimelech and Naomi, with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they leave Bethlehem because of a famine. And they go off to live in the land of Moab. This story, I think, is similar to what's happening to many people around our world today, isn't it? Famines make people travel a long way to find food for their families. Wars are making people move to try and find better ways of life, better ways to live, and things that they need. The wars have made many refugees, haven't they, which we hear about all the time, and my heart just goes out to these people who have left their home and still haven't got settled anywhere else. But this is what this family here became, refugees. They were looking for food and a better life. But sadly, it didn't work out totally great. We learn quite early on that Naomi's husband died. Doesn't tell us how soon after she arrived, but it tells us he died. And she was left with her two sons to care for her. They in turn marry Moabite girls, Orpah and Ruth. And then there seems to be even more sadness for about 10 years after they arrived in Moab. We're again not told exactly what happens, but Mahlon and Chilion also die. What a dreadful tragedy to befall this family, isn't it? We now have three widows and one of them who's lost three people. You know, when we hear stories like that, it touches your heart, doesn't it? But here it is in our scriptures happening to people. And you know, in the ancient world, there was nothing worse than being a widow, because they were often taken advantage of or ignored, and they were almost always poverty-stricken. The law actually stated, the Jewish law, that the nearest and dearest relative of the dead husband should take care of them. And I wonder if this is one of the reasons why Naomi was heading back to Israel. She was perhaps hoping there would be somebody there who would help, who would take care of her now that she was on her own. And she had heard that the famine was over, so she was going home. She was going to where she knew. So the daughters-in-law went with her. They set out. But they hadn't gone far when Naomi suddenly realised that her daughters-in-law in the land of Judah would find it very difficult to find a future. They were different. They didn't belong. They weren't Jews. They belonged to the land of Moab. So she encouraged them to go back home to their parents and hopefully to start again. What a selfless act that was, that would mean hardship for her. They wanted to stay with her, but eventually Orpah did accept Naomi's offer and they made an emotional farewell. Ruth, though, did not. Both women obviously cared deeply about their mother-in-law. But Ruth shows amazing loyalty, doesn't she, here? And she says those words that we all know. Do not urge me to go back and desert you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. I swear a solemn oath before the Lord your God, nothing but death shall divide us. What an incredible thing to say, wasn't it? I wonder what she'd seen in Naomi to make her want to stay with her. Was it the love that Naomi showed her? The loyalty, the care? Did she see God in Naomi and she didn't want to lose that? It's a challenge for us, isn't it? Because our families are often the hardest part, aren't they, of our witnessing. So many of us will say that witnessing to our close family is often very, very hard. But somehow, I think Ruth had seen something in Naomi. So they went back to Bethlehem, where Ruth continues to prove her love and her loyalty to Naomi. It was a tough time for both of them. I'm going to read you another couple of verses on the end of what we had this morning that I think are quite important verses. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was finishing. Naomi, at this point, comes across very bitter, doesn't she, and angry about what God has done, and what has happened to her. She's blaming him. Do you remember Paul talking to us a couple of weeks ago? And he talked just about this, didn't he? That we don't always understand what happens to us. And that it's often quite natural for us to call out to God and say, "What's going on here?" Because that's what Paul was saying he did when he was in hospital. "What's going on here? It's hard." Naomi feels at this point that God has been harsh to her, or has been disciplining her. I can't tell you every word of this lovely story. You need to read it, because there's a lot there, isn't there, to think about. Ruth, however, doesn't just sit there and say, "Oh dear, it's happened to me, and my husband has died." She has come to make a new life for herself. She's come to look after Naomi, and she gets on with it. She finds a way. It tells us the barley harvest was just beginning, so she goes to a field to pick up grain left by the harvesters, because that often happened as they were harvesting by hand. Grain was just left. It's not like it is today. No combine harvesters. People had to do it by hand. It was allowed. It was an okay thing, and she got food for them. The owner of the field turned up and asked who she was, and hearing her story allowed her to stay and was generous to her. When she went home to Naomi and explained, well, guess what? The owner, Boaz, was a close relative. The Bible calls him a kinsman redeemer. We would perhaps say a next of kin. Do you see God working a purpose out here in her life? A God incidence that the field, of all the fields around she chose, was the one that Boaz owned. God in charge. Sometimes when we don't even realize it, God is leading us in ways that we can't possibly understand. What follows in the book from then on is a love story. You need to read it, and you'll see that Ruth works hard to get their food, and her integrity and high standard of morality are obvious when she meets her future husband, Boaz. And he is shown as a man of integrity and a man of God, a man who followed God. When he first comes on the scene, he greets his workers by saying, "The Lord bless you." We know somebody who used to do that, don't we? "The Lord bless you." So what can we learn from these two women? And what parts of their story will encourage us? Let's think first about their loyalty and their sacrifice. Ruth obviously loved Naomi so much, she was willing to sacrifice her own future for her, or at least try to make a new one with her. On the other hand, Naomi was willing to let Ruth and Orpah go, even though that would have meant even more hardship for her. She would have had nobody. And Naomi, although she had a wobble when she first reached Judah, discovered, I think, that when she reached out to others in love, it came back, didn't it? Came back 100 times. They responded to her. It was all about giving to one another in love. And that's so important for us here in this church, isn't it? We're ever so good at standing and with each other and caring for each other. But we can always do more, can't we? We can always keep reminding ourselves that that's what we're here for. We're a family. We help. We support one another. How wonderful it is to see such loyalty and devotion from women who have suffered a lot. I wonder, can we be like that with those we meet every day as well as our church family? It's a sign of true friendship and family devotion. And God will certainly bless us as we try. We won't get it perfect. We never do. But we try. And I know that the many times that's been hard for Paul and I over the years, just like all of you will have had hard times, we've been aware of a deep love and commitment to us from our church and from other Christians. God delights to see his people work together to help each other and be committed to each other in his name. Ruth, as I said, must have seen in Naomi something of the God she served and loved because she wanted to serve him too. She got on with it, didn't we? She got on with it as best she could. She got her hands dirty. She got in there and started working. Again, how wonderful it is when others see Jesus in us and are drawn to him. Naomi and Ruth trusted in God always, even in the midst of their troubles. He saw them through. Wasn't that song lovely that Janet led us with, that last song? I just thought the words were so beautiful. God will be there, no matter what. That verse, when the night is long, God's still there, holding on. It's wonderful. These women were greatly rewarded by God for their faithfulness. Boaz was a good man who cared for both of them. But the interesting little bit on the end is that Boaz and Ruth went on to have a son named Obed, who was the father of Jesse. And if you know your scriptures, Jesse was the father of King David. When Ruth, an ordinary woman, went about her daily life just getting on with what needed to be done, I wonder if she had any inkling of where she was in God's plan of redemption. She was the great-grandmother of King David, from whom Jesus was descended. If you read at the end of Matthew, the very beginning of Matthew, all the list of people in the, you know, hereditary bit of Jesus, just have a look and see their names there. As we go about our daily lives, living out and sharing with others the love of God, we don't know how God is using that and how he is working out the redemption of the world, even through each one of us. Isn't that amazing? I just find it incredible when I meet people I've met years ago or worked with years ago and find them still going on with the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. And you know, we're in an easier place than either Ruth or Naomi. We have blessings that they did not have. They lived in BC, we live in AD. We know Jesus. We have seen God through him. We have seen his redemption in our lives through the cross and the resurrection as he has drawn us to himself. Remember, I was remembering Paul's sermon when I wrote this. Obviously, I think I wrote it a couple of days after he preached. And he said, didn't he, finished with, "I am with you always." What blessing is that? So no matter what happens to us, no matter where we're going, no matter what we're doing, God is with us every second of every day. And we can, with God's help, be the people he knows we can become. And we can make a difference as we surrender our lives to him and live them in trust and faith. Even us very ordinary people, are part of God's plan for redemption of mankind. Isn't that amazing? Amen.